Good evening. Well, I appreciate that introduction. And the wife is Linda. I think you said Laura. Maybe I misheard. No big deal. I've been called a lot of things. I tell people it doesn't bother me what I'm called, as long as I'm called at supper time. Yeah. All right, now. How you like his coat? Like it pretty well? I was in Kentucky, and I forgot my coat. And this was 4 or 5 years ago. And this good brother there said, here, take this coat. So I took it. Now that you've seen it, I'm going to take it off because I'm hot. All right. Okay. Better put it over here. I forget things from time to time. I was in Jacksonville, Florida one time. I forgot my ties. So I had to got to pick up a couple of ties. And then I was in Macomb, Mississippi. Any of you ever heard of that? That's south of Jackson. And this was back in the 80s. Does some of you guys remember when we had some, when men had buckles on their shoes? Any of you remember that? I mean, they were really kind of gaudy. But, you know, from my viewpoint today, but then, man, I thought I'm right there. So I'm sitting up here on the pew, and they say, so-and-so, you know, going to lead us in prayer, so I bow my head. I look down, I had two black shoes on. One had a big buckle, and one didn't. So I was down there for 5 days, you know, with those two shoes. So at any rate, I've had a lot of experiences like that. Well, I'm glad to be here. And one other thing I noted, my wife, she's so helpful. She gives me my papers. I say, tell me where I'm going, and she puts this stuff in my hands. It's a map and directions and the addresses and all that. She enters the stuff in the GPS and so forth and so on. And so I was flipping through that this morning, and I noticed she had a little sheet there. You know, it had my picture, you know, on it, and you had some other things, and you had me from Charleston, Michigan. I won't fix that. I'm from Mississippi. Okay? That's a big deal for me. All right? Now, my wife is from Detroit. And so she is from Michigan, but I'm from Mississippi. And I don't know anything about Charleston except I was born there. Why my mama went there, I don't know. But it was, that's where I was born, and I was raised in Mississippi. All right. Well, I'm glad to be here. You got your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. Hold them up. Get them up. Good, good. I want you to listen to me now. This is going to ease up on you. If we got any red Bibles, let me see the red Bibles. Watch it now. Red Bibles. There you go. How do you spell read? You don't have to. You got to get out a little bit more. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, the lesson topics that have been given to me have already been printed in different places, and so you have seen them. And I was told that I could choose the order. And so tonight we're going to be discussing the subject morality that was given to me. And then the order that I have selected, and I hope this will be satisfactory to all. In the morning, another lesson that was given was concerning the Bible being God's Word. And then women's role. And instrumental music, so we're going to do those in the morning. That's what, like 9, 10, and 11, correct? And then on Sunday, we're going to talk about evangelism and salvation, and then worship will be the final lesson. Now, is that afternoon service at 1 or 2? 1. Okay. All right. Because there's a person that lives in the area who's not a member of the church, and I called him today and invited him to come, and I wanted to be sure about that. All right. Now, in the 1800s, our nation witnessed a move westward. And that movement was called what? Who can tell me? The what? The movement westward. Now, is this teachy or preachy? Is this session supposed to be a teachy? Okay. All right. It was called the Wild West. Okay, we've all heard about the Wild West, right? Now, if you fast forward about 100 years from that time, the nation moved from a rather individualistic code of morality to more of a moral consensus. What I mean by that is, instead of, you know, each person sort of doing whatever, you know, he saw fit to do, then they sort of got it together within 100 years as to what was morally correct and what was not morally correct. Now, if you fast forward not 100 years, but say even 50 years, it seems to me that America is as wild today as it was in the Wild West, really. I remember actually saying to my wife, this was in 2015, I said, you know, this nation has gone crazy. And that was 2015. And now we've had 2016, and we still have a lot of craziness going on, don't we? So sounds pretty wild to me, at any rate, by my standards. A little boy once asked his mama, said to his mama, Mama, you know that vase that's been in our generation for 3 years? She said, yes, son. Well, this generation just broke it. And I feel like that there are things that are sacred which have been broken and are being broken by generations today, both old and young. Now, what is the moral condition of our nation today? What's the moral condition? Well, if you think about it and be honest, it seems to me that it's not a lot different today in one sense than it has been for a long, long time. You know, really, you know, folks say, oh, wow, everything's going to dogs today. You know, every generation says, you know, young people are just going to the dogs. You see, that's what you know, my parents' generation said, and that's what my generation is saying. And so, you know, it seems like every generation, you know, looks down at the, you know, at the generation below them, and they essentially say, well, yeah, they're all going to the dogs, all right? But if you think about it, now let's just be honest about it, it does not seem to me to be a lot different than it's ever been. Let's just look at a few things. Take social injustice. Well, in Matthew 23, verse 23, the Bible says that the scribes and the Pharisees neglected justice and mercy. So the social injustice that we witness today is something that, you know, was characteristic of people a long, long time ago. And then take, say, homosexual marriage, if you will. Well, have we forgotten about Sodom and Gomorrah? Have we forgotten about Romans chapter 1, you know, where the Bible says that God gave people up, you know, to their vile passions, the women turning from the natural use of the body and the men, you know, turning from the natural, you know, way of things? Have we forgotten about that? That's Romans chapter 1. Have we forgotten 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Bible says, such were some of you, speaking of the homosexual issue, such were some of you. So here's Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he said, some of you guys had this problem, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. And so this is really not a new thing. It seems to be, I think the news is more accessible, obviously, to us today, don't you think? Someone recently said, David, did you know about such and such? I said, oh yeah, I heard that 7 seconds ago. But, you know, things are just so much at our fingertips anymore today. Well, what about divorce? I found a note in my files some time ago when I was doing some research on divorce. And this was from the 70s. And at that time, my note said 25% of our marriages end in divorce. Well, guess what? It's 50% today. But it's not a new thing, is it? You know, the Lord Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 19. He said, whosoever puts away his wife except for fornication, marries another, commits adultery, and whoso marries her who is put away commits adultery. So this is not a new thing. What, you know, God has joined together, let not man put asunder. You know, the Bible's pretty plain about that. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6. Well, what about cohabitation? You know, people living together. Well, is that a new thing? Not really. You know, Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God shall judge. Well, what about adultery? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? That's Galatians 5, verse 19. Guess what's number one? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, revelings, and such like. Watch it. It's going to slip up on you. Of the which I tell you before, I'm telling you, as I've told you before, that the ones who do these things will not enter the kingdom of God. So, adultery is not a new thing. Well, what about premarital sexual activity? Well, 1 Corinthians 7 says that in order to avoid that, that each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. That's what the Bible says about that. Well, does the Bible say anything about pornography, someone says? Well, Matthew 5, the Bible says, whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. That's verse 28. Yeah, but the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion, somebody might say. Well, what about Proverbs 6? Beginning in 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, watch it, hands which shed innocent blood. Now, that may not have been intended by the author, you know, at that time, you know, to be talking about abortion, but that sure looks like a verse that would be applicable to that. Hands that shed innocent blood. And what about alcohol and drug use? Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine. Or what about the rejection of absolutes? You know that there are some things that are always right and there are some things that are always wrong. Isaiah now, hundreds of years before Christ, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Are there any people today that call evil good? Well, yeah. Just a lot of the things that we've already mentioned. Homosexual behavior. You know, well, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, you know, some people would say. And then, what about just immorality in general? Well, Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So, that looks like what it is to me. All right, that's just a few things that I thought about. Now, what I'd like to do for the rest of our time, though, is raise the question, is there any hope for us? And then raise the question, what can we do? That seems to me to be a point that we ought to consider. Well, just think about it. I think a common mistake that we make is to believe that the success of the Lord's church depends upon the culture in which it, you know, exists. I think that's a mistake. Listen to me. I believe that the Lord's church can survive in any soil in which it is planted. And so the success of the church, the success of the kingdom does not depend on the culture in which it may be situated. Let me just ask it this way. Did Noah and his family remain faithful in the midst of a morally corrupt world? They did, didn't they? And there were other people who could have come to the Lord, couldn't they? They could have done that, but they didn't do it. But Noah and his family, you know, Noah preached over 100 years. And so they remained faithful. What about Israel in under Babylon and the Babylonians in Persia? Well, all we have to do is read about Daniel. All we have to do is read about Esther. I mean, we've got some faithfulness going on there, don't we? Of course we do. Well, what about the Lord's church? Did it survive under Roman rule? I love history. And if you read about, you know, Roman rule, it's just incredible to me some of the things, you know, that took place under some of those crazy emperors. You know, Nero and Caligula and all those guys? Did the church survive? Yes, all you have to do is read the book of Romans. All you have to do is read the book of Acts. Read 1 Corinthians. Read the book of Revelation. You know, John the Apostle is saying, listen, we're reigning now. It doesn't appear that we are. It appears that the devil, you know, has the upper hand, but we're in control right now, and we're going to reign forever and ever. That's the whole theme of the book of Revelation, the victory of Christ and his church over the dragon, the beast, or the devil. So, God's people have never existed, if you think about it, God's people have never existed in a culture that was not hostile. And so, the success of the Lord's church, watch it, does not depend upon the Supreme Court. The success of the church does not depend on whoever is serving as president of the United States. The success of the Lord's church does not depend on the legislature. We must never forget, brethren, I think that this to me is encouraging, we must never forget, Daniel 2:44 says that God was going to establish a kingdom that what? Would never be destroyed. Isn't that right? And then Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31, the Bible teaches, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Or Romans 8 and 37, we are more than conquerors. Or Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the kingdom is unshaken. And then I love this verse in Psalm 47 verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God reigns over the nations. I do a lesson sometimes on providence where I emphasize God is in control. He reigns. He rules. He still calls the shots. You know, we may not understand it because we can't see the big picture. We can't see things the way God sees things. You see, there's no platform in eternity from which I can stand or you can stand and we can see, you know, things the way God sees things. But never forget, God's in control. Okay, now, with that, what can we do then about this situation, you know, in which we live? What can we do? In some, I think we could make some very positive moves to shock the world, if you will. There may be a better way to say that, but that's the only way I know how to say it. And so I would ask this, does the Bible teach that we should sit by just idly? Does the Bible teach that? I don't think so. Acts 17 and 6, the Bible says, these are they who did what? Turn the world what? Upside down. Isn't that right? Y'all need to help me out now. I'm not feeling much love here. Acts chapter 28.